This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action, and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show. And here is Mark Helm.
Let me share with you the four metrics I think every self-storage owner should be tracking. Now, there's more that you can track and more we track, but these four are critical in my opinion. My name is Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer small investors who want to get in the self-storage business or who want to grow their self-storage business. You can find out about the products and services I offer at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Now, a few years ago, I wrote an episode and had a download and a video called the 5 KPIs. Those are the 5 key performance indicators that we track. I said for years, I think that if you keep your eye on about 5 things, you can have a great self-storage business. And everybody kept asking me what they were. And so I wrote that episode. Now, there may be a little overlap, but I'm focused today as an owner, a self-storage owner. These are the metrics that I would always track. Now, other metrics and key performance indicators kind of come and go a little bit, but these 4 are just never take your eye off of them. So let's talk about metric number 1, pretty obvious, physical occupancy. Now, my relationship to this metric has changed over the years. Now, I measure physical occupancy not by units, but by square footage. If you prefer units, go ahead. Just know a 5x5 is the same as a 20x40 if you have something like that. So I typically go by square footage. But there is a lot of self-storage out there today. Now, in any given trade area, when I say trade area, what I mean is the area surrounding the facility or the address you're looking at where the majority of your customer base is. And in any given trade area, there's a lot for customers to choose from. Now, unless you offer something different or unique, like let's say boat and RV parking or indoor car parking or something that could expand your trade area, realistically, most of your customers are going to live 5 miles or in, and or a 10 to 20 minute drive time from the facility. In our portfolio, the average is 3.2 miles. That we have 86% of our customers live within 3.2 miles. Now, every facility is different, but that's our average. Now, if you're bringing new space to the market, or you're just completed an expansion or conversion, or you just bought a existing self-storage facility and you're repositioning it, getting a lot of no pays out, you're in lease-up mode. And the reality is, it really doesn't matter if you're in lease-up mode, but, or if you just have the normal churn of units. Given the amount of options that your customer base has, the name of the game today in most trade areas is get them in the door. Get them in your facility. Once you get them in the door, customers tend to be pretty sticky. That's why you see a lot of move-in specials. If your normal 10x10 is $140, you might have a $70, $80, $100 move-in rate, and then slowly you get them close to the or at your market rate. So the name of the game today is to get them in there. So I relate to physical occupancy today very different than I did 5-10 years ago. Now, as you start getting closer to stabilization, you can be a little more bullish on your rates. But when I'm trying to get a customer, especially in a market where that customer has a lot of options, the name of the game is physical occupancy. Then we work on what we'll talk about in our next metric. I often get asked, well, what's a good stabilization rate? Well, it depends. It depends on your trade area. It depends on what other facilities are at, how much new space is on the market, how many projects are in lease-up mode. But typically, my target number is physical occupancy, 88 to, let's say, 92 or 93%. Well, why don't you want 100%? You never want 100%. You always want to have units to rent. Being 95, 98, 100%, that's like having a grocery store with no food on the shelves. If you're approaching, you know, 93, 95 or above, you need to raise your rates. You've always need to have units to rent. So let's talk about metric number two that I think owners should always keep their eye on. Now, this is even if you have third-party management. Physical occupancy, second one is economic occupancy. So what is economic occupancy? That's literally the amount of money that's coming in from your, how much you've rented your units for compared to the gross potential income. If you had a gross monthly potential income of $50,000, you may have physical occupancy of, let's say, 80%, but if you're only bringing $25,000 in, you're at 50% economic occupancy. Now, once we start approaching stabilization, you know, high 70s, low 80s, we really get focused on raising that economic occupancy number. In a well-run facility, when we're at stabilization, our managers know that we expect economic occupancy to be within 5% or less of physical occupancy. Sometimes it's a little challenging today to achieve when you're offering move-in specials, but as you get close to stabilization, and unless there's a lot of other facilities in lease-up mode in your trade area, you don't need to be offering those discounts to get people in. Or your discounts are shorter for a shorter period of time and they're less drastic than they are during lease-up. Our managers know at the end of the month if the economic occupancy of their facility is more than 5% less than the physical occupancy, we're going to be talking. After stabilization, keep your eye on this metric. In my opinion, it's more important than physical occupancy. But let's talk about metric number three. This is one we talked about in the five KPIs, and I call it delinquency ratio. So what is delinquency ratio? Well, what it is how much uncollected rent there is, total. I'm talking 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 30, 30 to 60, 60, anything that has been charged and is uncollected, divided by the monthly gross potential income. That's the delinquency ratio. Again, in a healthy, well-run facility, that delinquency ratio at the end of the month should be 5% or less. Again, with managers, if our delinquency ratio is over 5 at the end of a month, they know there's a conversation coming and they had better have auctions scheduled. Now the reality is, as you look at facilities to buy, some of them will be 5% or less, but the majority, especially of mom and pops, are well over that. I have a client that I'm coaching that bought a portfolio of properties in a town, and collectively that portfolio was 67%. Now in the last week's episode, we talked about payment plans. How often should you do a payment plan? Never. Never do a payment plan with a customer. If a customer can't pay a bill, don't let them pay a partial piece of it. Let them go and collect nothing. You're way better off doing that than you are setting up a payment plan. We have a policy. Design your own policy. Our policy is pay me 50% of what you owe me and you can take your stuff and go. Otherwise, we got to go to auction. I want to get, if somebody's not paying, I want to get that unit back on the market. Isn't something better than nothing? Absolutely not when it comes to payment plans. That portfolio, for example, had 67% of their income dribbling in. It was unbelievable. It's nothing for me to see 35, 40% delinquency ratio. That's my upside when I buy it. So let's take a look. Here, let me show you a couple of different, where do you get these numbers? I usually try to get them from the management summary reports. If they're not on the management summary reports, then find the delinquency report and go to an occupancy statistic report that shows gross potential income of every unit's rented and get those two numbers. But many management summary reports, every time you close, the end of each day, they will print out the numbers you need. Let's take a look at a couple. Here's one. Here's a facility I looked at a couple weeks ago, wrote on it, didn't buy it, but wrote on it. So you can see they call it bad debt on this report. If you take all of the bad debt from day zero to the longest out there, they had $5,514 uncollected. And if you go to the bottom left column, you see that the gross potential monthly income is $48,272. So to get the delinquency ratio for this facility, you divide 5514 by 48,272, and you get 11.4. I've seen a lot worse, but the difference between 11.4 and 5 is generally my upside. I don't suspect they're doing payment plans from this, but when I look down and I do a delinquency ratio and I see 30% or more, 25%, I'll look at that manager and say, oh, so you do payment plans. And they go, how do you know? That's how I know. Let's look at another management summary report. Here's a project that we owned. We ended up selling it a few years ago, but here's during the pandemic, June, 3 months after the shutdown. Let's look at this facility. The numbers will be different, the amounts because of the size of the facilities, but the ratio is calculated the same way. Let's take a look at this one. In this management summary report, you can look on the right-hand column, and it's called unpaid charges. The total delinquent at the end of June that year was $3,347, or $3,346. The GPI number is $114,779. So if you divide those out, you'll see that the delinquency ratio was 2.9% for this facility 3 months after the shutdown of the pandemic. Keep your eye on this metric. If you have employees running a facility, have them keep their eye on this metric. This ensures the integrity of your cash flow. And let's look at the last metric I think every owner should have their eye on, and I'm surprised how many don't. And that is actual to budget NOI, net operating income. And we track these monthly. And then quarterly, I make a graph. You know, something can happen a month that will skew it up or skew it down, but patterns, graph patterns per quarter really tell a lot. First of all, if you don't have a budget, it's a meaningless metric. Have a budget, create a budget. Now, what we do, not that you should do this, but when I'm looking at a project, whether I'm building, buying, or converting, I do a 5 or 10 year projected cash flow. Then as I go through the due diligence, I adjust that pro forma based on the information I get in the due diligence. Once I remove my contingencies, that pro forma literally becomes my budget year by year. Why? Well, because usually I have partners and investors, and that pro forma is what they said yes to. So that's what I'm usually being measured by. Now, you notice I said net operating income. Now, net operating income is income, operating income, rent, retail sales, truck rentals, your cash flows, minus your operating expenses. net operating income. Especially today, expenses can change. Insurance could go up faster than I projected in my pro forma. Property taxes go up faster than I projected in my pro forma. So I know that. Why? Well, because I have a budget based on my pro forma. And then I can adjust other operating expenses where I can, or I can deploy different revenue strategies because I keep my eye on the NOI, not the income line, not my expense line, the net operating income. That is a critical, the value of the assets based on the net operating income, the yield that it, that investors and partners can expect are based on the net operating income. And that's what I keep my eye on. So if I have a yearly pro forma, then I just divide it into months. And I always know where I'm at in relationship to what I said the net operating income is going to be. Why? That's where the wealth is created in self-storage. Having that net operating income going up year by year. As an owner, I know on every project where I am and where my net operating income is in relationship to where I thought it would be or where I said it would be at this time. And by keeping my eye on that, then that gives me the opportunities to adjust, you know, pull the dials and levers I need to pull and turn in order to achieve what I said. And no other asset class will give you that opportunity better than self-storage because there's just not that many variables. Now, there's other metrics I follow, like effectiveness of advertising, online marketing, a lot of other metrics I follow. But as an owner, I think these four are just absolutely primary. You keep, as an owner, you keep your eye on these and hold your team members, your vendors, everyone, including yourself, you know, to account for these numbers. Odds are you're going to have a pretty successful business. If you're not tracking them, I promise you there's gold you can mine by tracking them. There's value you can create. These are the basic metrics to follow in order to create the wealth that this asset class really has. I hope this has helped. Thank you very much. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer. That's one of the financial analysis tools we use that will help us create those NOIs that we track. You can find out more about it at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. Thank you very much, and I look forward to being with you next week.